Well, welcome back to church. You will turn your Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to finish up verse 10 tonight. Verse 10 just kind of puts everything in the right perspective once you've read and studied the rest of it. He says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Things are not done by accident. Things are not done by happenstance. They're not lucky, or we're not. We are blessed. And we just don't realize sometimes how blessed we can be that God uses us. It is a blessing to be used by God in any capacity. All right, we looked first this morning after our introduction, which was long. We looked at this point. We are God's own creation. It says, "For we are created by God unto good works, and ordained that we should walk in those good works." So we got down to our third point, our sub-point, and that is that Paul, in verse 10, says, "For we are his workmanship." The Thayer's Dictionary defines the word workmanship, the works of God as a creator. It's not just that God made us something. It's not just that God called me to pastor, gave me the ability to preach. God created me to do this. It's not just something he decided upon. God created you to do whatever you do, whether it's a prayer warrior, song leader. God looked in time and said, "This is what you're going to do." And he had ordained you to do this, just that. And when that time came, just like his son, he ordained him to give his life on that cross at a particular time by a particular people. And he ordained everything about it. He ordained everything about this church. He creates it. Just as he created Adam from the dust of the ground, and he created Eve from a rib taken from Adam, he creates us. We are the handiwork of his hands, so to speak, in a metaphorical way. Just as he says that Romans 9 says that he is the potter, and we're the clay, and he makes us either a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor. He does it. We don't do it. God does it. We can't take credit for what we do. I mean, it's good when Justin leads the singing, you tell him, you know, you're doing a good job. But he's doing it because that's where God put him. Same thing with the other men in this church. Tell them you appreciate what they do, because what they do for the Lord. Tell them you appreciate it. But don't think too highly of men. And through time, men have thought highly of other men, talking about how great they are. You know what? We are what we are by the grace of God. God made them what they are. None of them deserve any credit for what they've done for the Lord. God will give them the credit. God will give them what they earned. But what they did in life, what they accomplished in life, is what God ordained it to be. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. I know we got that this morning, but I want to go back there because I had to hurry with it. So in verse 10, Paul says that we're not only the workmanship of God, the work of God the Creator, but he says we were created in Christ Jesus. And how was we created in Christ Jesus? Unto good works. Every good work you do in life for the Lord which is the only real good work you do. You do because God ordained them in Christ that you do them. We are not just saved, we're created. We are new people. We are new persons to serve God at His pleasure with whatever God wants us to do. God defines it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He is a new creature. He is a new creation. God didn't remodel you. He recreated you. He made you another person. The Bible says that you must be born again. That is, born from heaven, born a second time. This is what Nicodemus couldn't understand, that he must be born a second time. Not only by his mother, but also born of God as a child of his. A new creature altogether. Old things are passed away. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Get rid of the old things and work with the new ones, because they are of God. The old things weren't of God. Verses 1 through 3, what you were before God saved you. Those were your works. You did them according to the course of the air, the power of Satan. But now you're not. In Colossians, the Bible says that Jesus has transferred you from Satan to Christ. You're a different person. You are new. He says, all things are of God. All of them. Everything God created you, everything God made you, everything you are in Christ, those are the things of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ? The word reconcile means to change or exchange. God changed us in Christ Jesus by his death, his burial, his resurrection, and cleansed us from our sin through his blood. Exactly how does a man change himself? God says you can't. In Romans 3, God says you don't want to retain God in your knowledge. Lost people can't change what they are. No more than a leper can change his spots, or an Ethiopian change his skin color. The reconciliation that was done by God. It says, who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God who reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ and give to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's our job to get the gospel to the world. That's the message of reconciliation. What God done for us, how God did it for us. Always standing upon the sovereignty of God. Never giving up, never giving in, never stopping. No matter what it costs us, you don't sell the truth, you buy the truth. As the psalmist wrote. He goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, changing us through Jesus Christ. Man can't do it by himself. Brother Oscar Meade, in his study of Ephesians, wrote this. Therefore, salvation cannot be of works, for Adam did not create himself. You get the idea where Meade's going there? Adam did not create himself, and saved people do not create themselves. Neither did we create ourselves in Adam, he says. It is ludicrous to talk of something creating itself and we we do it only to show the utter foolishness of the schemes which attract salvation in the whole world to the creature. I'm sorry, attributes salvation of the creature to himself. It is foolishness. It's when you learn the things of God, when you learn what God has told us in Ephesians chapter 2, it's utter foolishness for a person to think that they can simply make a decision. They can simply make a choice. They can simply pray a prayer. They can simply change who they are. You cannot. You were born again. You were created of God for a purpose in your life. God said, back in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we just read it, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's not a remodel, he's new. Everything, you'll hear Christians that's been reborn talking about, there's something different about me. I have changed, my ways have changed, my thinking have changed, my wants in life have changed. Yes, they have. Because God changed them. God made you born again, born a second time. This time, you're born of him. You're created of him. God took that lump of clay as a potter, and he molded you to be what he wanted you to be in life. Galatians 6. We were Adam's creation. We cycled through the system. You know, everybody says God created me. If you're not saved, God ain't created you to do anything. Don't misunderstand that. If you're not saved, God didn't create you to be anything. You're a sinner. You're a sinner because the two people that God did create were sinners. And you cycle through the system, cycle through the years of being reproductive through the years, and you're what they came from it. People fail to understand that things we are of sin. People look at God the wrong way. Sin causes people to be what they are. I hear gay people say all the time, well, God created me this way. God didn't create you that way. You are a product of a sinful system. Sin brings about the way people are. It's a curse of sin upon them. I know it's hard sometimes to think about these things and to ponder these things the way they really are, but they are what they are. God is who he is. And the best thing we can do as Christians is never belittle God or never forget what God is responsible for, and what sin is responsible for, and what the devil is responsible for. Now you can look deeply into it, and you can take Job and say, well, God really caused all of his issues. Because God allowed it, and God knew Satan was going to do what he did. Okay, well, if you want to go that far, go that far. But Satan is the cause of his evilness. Satan took his cattle. Satan took his money. Satan killed his children. Satan caused his wife to turn against her husband. Blame it on God if you so choose, but Satan's one of the dead, isn't he? Sin's the cause of afflictions in the world. I get tired of people talking about what they think and what they think happened here, what they think. God is in control of everything. God is in charge of everything. God makes us what we are. But lost people, sin makes them what they are. Don't tell me that God created you something evil. God says in James, we're not tempted of God. We're tempted of Satan. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. In other words, works has nothing to do with anything. The circumcision is an old custom of the Jews. Remember, Abraham was circumcised later in life. Paul was. It was a custom. And if you weren't, then you couldn't be a child of God. And what the world's saying here, you wash that stuff. That don't matter. What you do in life don't matter about you being a Christian. They avail of nothing. Listen what he says next. But a new creature. That's what changes you. That's what makes you what you are. That's what makes you a Christian. Is God has made you a new creature. Changed your way of thinking. Changed your mind about things and ways. Made you understand the Word of God. Causing you to believe God and walk with Christ. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. What rule? The sovereign grace of God that He creates what we are. That we're new creatures. And mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble you. Why, Lord? For I bear my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. Folks, Jesus is not the only one that suffered. We suffer too. Great man of God. I'm not equating Jesus to them. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, they suffered. A lot of them were crucified. A lot of them were beheaded. A lot of them people throughout time suffered great afflictions. Great martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ. For carrying on the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. And that's what God created them for. They didn't die by accident. They didn't die because they had bad luck. They were executed just like Jesus was because God ordained it to be. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul suffered. He suffered greatly, and he suffered a miserable death at that. The new creature, in verse 15, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means a new creature no longer carries the marks of Adam, of this world. You're a new creature. Get it? You understand what I'm saying here? You are different. You are no longer, we'll say, of the flesh. You are God now. You're no longer of Adam. You are God now. You're no longer born of this earthly family. You are born of God. You no longer belong to Satan. God has rescued you, taken that away from you. But that the Lord Jesus Christ now It's a mark you carry in mind. That should be where your heart's at. Lead me, Lord, to wherever, and I will do whatever you want me to do. Missionaries do it all the time. People don't understand these missionaries. You know, there's a lot of things we don't understand in life. We don't understand what a police officer goes through when he's called to your house at 2 o'clock in the morning because you got a burglar in your backyard. Why ain't you out there doing something about the burglar? No, you call them because that's their job, isn't it? They're willing to sacrifice themselves for you, to serve you, the public, and we ought to be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to serve the Lord our God. Jesus said, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, the will of my Father. The will of his Father was that he died on that cross. The will of his Father was that he take that beating he took before he died. You got these rugrats out there like Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey, people that wouldn't know the Bible if they saw it sitting on a shelf. Even if it said Holy Bible, they wouldn't know what it was because they probably never opened and read the thing. Telling you, why would we serve a God that won't just be poor and lame or whatever ever happened to it? You serve a God for whatever he wants you to be. If he wants you to be afflicted, you'll be afflicted. If he wants you to be a martyr, you'll be a martyr. You are God's creation for him to do whatever he chooses to do. The marks of Jesus Christ. Paul went on back in our text in verse 10. We're going to go to Philippians 2 next. Paul went on and Father, verse 10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God did not save us. He did not create us a new creature. He did not choose us to be a child for no reason. God has a plan for all of us. I don't know what the plan is for every one of us. I know what his plan up to this minute has been for me. And I know what his plan up to this minute has been for some of you. But God has a plan for our entire life. He has ordained it. He has created it for us. We ought to wake up every morning and ask the Lord, what have you got in mind for me today, Lord? Because your day is going to go exactly as God has ordained it to be. I get tired of people saying, well, God really don't care about this, God really don't care about that. God cares about everything. God cares about everything because everything involves his children. So God didn't save you. He didn't make you a new creature. He didn't choose you for no reason. He chose to save you for a particular work. So how does God work in us? Through the Holy Spirit. Nobody's ever been saved the Spirit of God did not convict their heart. That's the only way anybody's interested in being saved. I always love it when someone tells me that they're concerned about their salvation. They may be concerned for a week, a month, a year, maybe more years. They'll be concerned until God saves them. Because that means the Spirit is working in their hearts. And the Spirit works in no heart that he does not save. None. all that he calls, he saves. Romans 8:14. But go to Philippians chapter 2. People sometimes overlook these scriptures. Let's don't overlook them tonight. Let's look at these scriptures. In chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. I thought I'd put 14, but you know 14 has a great message to it in itself. He says, verse 13 of Philippians 2, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." It's God. Whatever you do for the Lord, you're doing it because God chose you and called you and called you to do it. But why, if I'm not willing, he makes you willing. What, do you think our will changes? God changes it for us. He makes us willing to do whatever it is he wants us to do. Isn't that beautiful? And Paul went on to say in verse 14, "Do all these things without murmurings and disputings." Just do them. Don't complain. Don't argue. Just do it. Do whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart to do. Because God never puts anything on your heart that he does not mean for you to do. And he will give you the power to do it, the ability to do it, and he will give you the strength to do it, and he'll provide a way for you to do it. It's like a dot to dot to dot. You remember those old puzzles you used to do as a kid, if you're as old as I am? You used to go from dot to dot to dot to dot, and when you got done, you'd have a bunny rabbit or something. That's what God does. He moves you from here to here to here to here to here to here to here. And when you get to it, it's a beautiful picture. Because it's God's picture. It's what God has ordained for your life. The purpose in your life is what God has made you. That's beautiful. I thank God for what he's made me. Yeah, it's tough sometimes being a pastor, and you know, the hours I work between my job and church and the amount of hours I spend studying and putting things together. Yeah, it is a work. I get tired. I get drugged down. But you know what? I have come into this church and stood in this pulpit feeling about the worst I could possibly feel and stood up and preached the message of God. Because God wanted it done. And I was willing to be here without complaining, without arguing about it, and accomplish whatever it is God wanted me to accomplish. Isn't that beautiful? You do the things of God without disputes and without murmurings. Our good works are by the means of our salvation, and both are through Christ. James talked about this. I'm not going to go there, but the Armenians, the workers of salvation, are workers for salvation. Love to use James, don't they? For faith without works is dead. It don't mean what they think it means. And one day, they're wrong. The works are a result of our salvation. They are not for our salvation. If someone says they're saved and they never desire to go to church, this may hurt some of your feelings. Because we all got friends and family are this way. You can't sit on Facebook and repost a bunch of religious trash or a bunch of pictures with scriptures on them and call yourself a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. These same people that do these things probably never read their Bible. I know one particular person in our family who's unfriended me, and that's okay, but I didn't like their football team. But anyway, they unfriended me, but they do this. They never go to church. Grew up a daddy that's a pastor, a very good sovereign grace preacher. Years ago when I knew them, they knew a lot of scripture and they knew a lot of doctrine. They were sovereign grace people. Now we have to argue with them about the sovereignty of God and other things. That's sad, isn't it? And I keep having to tell other people in the family that, you know, maybe they're not saved. They have to look at that possibility. Just because you say you're a Christian don't mean you are. Christians have a desire to work for the Lord. I mean, we can sit around and make all the excuses we want to, can't we? Well, the Lord just ain't working with them. Why not? The Lord's working with each and every one of you because you're here tonight. You come to church when you're sick. You come when it's raining or shining. You're better than mailmen. You know, rain, sleet, snow. Anyway. And you can get the prettiest day and they still won't come to church. They won't read their Bible. They don't pray. You go visit them and be with them and go out to eat with them or something or have a meal with them and they'll just start chunking it down. I just sat there and look at them. Would y'all like to offer thanks to God for this? Oh, yeah. I mean, how much excuses can we make? Because we love them. Think about it. Brother Meade said in his study we have on our webpage, he says, let us never lose sight of the distinction between between good works as a means of salvation and good works as evidence of salvation. That's exactly what James was talking about. He's exactly right. We can't lose sight of what one is to the other. The works for salvation is not work. We work because of salvation. He went on to say, we are not saved by our good works, but we are saved, listen to this word, to. We are saved to perform good works. And in doing so, we manifest to the world that we are saved by the good works of Christ. How about that? We're saved by the good works of Christ. What a statement. That's exactly right. That's how we are saved. So you have to ask yourself, these people that don't have any desire to serve God, is it possible that they probably are not saved altogether? Third, and I've got to hurry, I've only got 10 minutes left, and we're almost done. Hebrews 13, if you will. And 1 Corinthians, we're going to go 1 Corinthians 3, then Hebrews 13, and then Colossians. And I've got 10 minutes. The last point is this. God also predestinated our good work. It says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them good works. God has ordained us to walk in the good works. What good works? The ones he created in us. When God created us as Christians, He created a job for us to do, a work for us to do. What is the primary work of the church? To get the gospel to the world. The primary work of Christ when He was here was to give His life on that cross for our sins. He did many other things, but that was His goal. That was His orders from the Father, so to speak. That was the Father's will for Him, that He give His life on that cross. That's what He came here to do. He came to seek and to save. I put a post on Facebook the other day about praying with me that the Lord comes soon. And someone who was a family member told me that I was basically wrong in asking that, because there's a lot of people need to be saved. And I told her, I said, well, if God's going to save everybody before Jesus comes, He won't ever come. I didn't get no reply. But the ministry of Jesus, see, this is what it's about, folks. It's not that we do works. We do works of Jesus. We're created unto good works in Christ Jesus. So the ministry of Jesus continues from the apostles through time into today through us. We're doing the same works Paul did. In a different fashion, we got nice buildings, we got air conditioning, we got ceiling fans, we got lights and electricity, we got cars to bring us and take us. I mean, we really do have it good, don't we? But when you boil it all down, we're doing the same work Paul done. We're carrying the ministry of Jesus through time. We're going to hand it off to the next generation, if there is one, for Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, says, we are laborers together with God. Don't ever forget that. We are laborers together with God. Remember, we are laborers in Christ. Christ was a partner with God. We partner with God. We plant a seed. We water the seed. But God gives the increase. We have our job. God has His. We do our job well. God will do His job well. And God's happy with what we're doing. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he built thereon. It must be the same system passed through time. You can't take the sovereignty of God away. You can't take the doctrine of the church landmarkism away. You can't take the doctrines away. If you lose the doctrines, you lose the building. You got to use the proper building materials to build the building. The building's still being built. The foundation's been laid. It's been built upon through time. We're continuing that building. We are created to do the things of God. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation, folks. Created in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm sorry I can't spend more time on this. I know y'all say, well, go ahead and preach the midnight, Pastor, but you really don't mean that. I mean, some of you are getting tired of getting hungry and stuff. Anyway, I live by the clock. I was taught that. I'm sorry. Brother Hammond ruined me. He actually taught me to only preach 30 minutes. He said, after 30 minutes, they lose their attention. He apparently never came to this church. Anyway, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace, and I often wondered why he ever preached 45 minutes to an hour. But now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And listen, make you perfect or complete in every good work. What's this? To do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. You didn't do it. You're not responsible for it. Thank God you can do it. I often wonder why people have such a great ability to play instruments, to sing, and do the things for the Lord, and don't do them. God's blessed us all with something. He said when he built the church, he built it with different people, different abilities, different talents. It's amazing to go to Oakdale and listen to all the music. We're getting that at our conference. Have you noticed how much singing we get? Justin's going to be busy this year in our conference. We got some singers going to come. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Real quickly. Good works as spoken of here are in contrast to works of darkness and the wicked works. Once we work for Satan, now we work for God. God took you away from what you were in verses 1, 2, and 3, and he made you by verse 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 to do what he said you would do in verse 10. And that was where in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Colossians 1. That's what you did, and God took you away from that. You didn't leave it. You didn't rescue yourself. God removed you from that and created you a whole new person. Isn't it amazing? People are saved. And they go back around their old buddies and they say, you know what, buddy? Something's wrong with you. You're different. Yeah, something's wrong with him. God saved him and he's different. He's a new creature. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That should be our goal in life. Being fruitful in every good work, and listen, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strength with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. And listen to this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and transcended, that is transferred, that's what I was talking about a while ago, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen to this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now let me ask you this. How much of that did we do? Read it again. And you find out how much of that we did. And when we return, you will tell me we don't do anything. God does it all. We are the work. We are the workers of His handiwork. We are the receptants of His grace, His mercy, His love, His fellowship, all of these things, because that's what God chose us to be. How beautiful is that? Let's all stand.